Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
We're in a hot tub. With, quite literally, a hot tub.
Yeah.
And
yo, dog.
Sup?
So can we roam around? Because they're picking up.
We can play Marco Polo and then.
Okay.
Fish out
so,
of there.
Spencer Hall, SB Nation, every day should be Saturday.
Spencer Hall.
Mount Verbmore, longtime friend and friend of the show. You got Ryan Hot Tub in a hot tub.
In a hot tub.
We're at Casa de Rubenstein. It's what? It's a little before midnight? 11:30?
A little before midnight. Late night show here. It's like 3 a.m. East Coast.
We're looking at stars.
High up in Sex Canyon, Colorado.
Sex Canyon, Colorado. We took the show to California and then heard good things about jacuzzis in the mountain region.
Our money is tall.
We've blown the Solid Verbal budget through 2038 to do this. We have the national championship tomorrow night. Should I be facing this way?
No, maybe. You can pretty much talk wherever.
Okay. We got the national championship tomorrow night, tonight, whatever. Spencer's going. We're going to be watching it here. We've done a bunch of interviews.
Yep.
And now we just got to figure it out here. Now it's just ourselves.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I just hope that the wires don't give way and we all get electrocuted in the hot tub here. Which is a distinct possibility.
Will it save automatically? Do you think my parents would come down and save the episode and release it?
There would be a strong power surge, which may cause their alarms to go off.
Okay.
At which point they may be notified that something terrible has happened.
Right.
It's only 220.
Yeah.
And he never grew hair again.
So now, what was this question you guys had?
Who is going to be the first non-Vanderbilt? Because I think that's probably the easiest answer. SEC program.
I'm interested that you think that, but...
Really?
Go ahead.
You think Vandy is just as likely or unlikely?
I don't think they're significantly more likely.
Well, it's just sort of...
It's not a situation where you'd say, well, obviously Vanderbilt.
Well, are they not, like, the most... stereotypically civilized SEC school?
You know, it's a terrible curve.
Yeah.
To evaluate on. They would probably be the first, most likely because they had given up on athletics. They would probably that's how it would happen. They would just say, to indicate how little we actually care about athletics, we'll put a woman in charge. And that's when, and by the way, that's when the plot kicks in and the woman's really successful. And yeah, this becomes a movie.
Right.
You're like, Anne Rice was a surprisingly great football coach.
So we're talking about a year mom won the pennant type of scenario here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like
Matt Christopher?
Matt Christopher,
yeah,
of course.
Or a major league scenario where they're like, in order to make the program fail, we'll put a woman in charge, and she's like ridiculously successful and beats it.
It's like highly organized and very nagging, but somehow gets it.
Mom would be the coach.
Right. So who hires a woman head coach first in the SEC?
Vanderbilt.
Save for you got to think Mississippi State's pretty close to that at this point, aren't they?
Running out of options.
I mean, if not Dan Mullen, then who?
Hey, listen. You want to put Doris Burke in charge of that team? They'll win the SEC West in 2 years.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
And early on, by the way, I will also say this. Tennessee is number two.
Yeah.
Why?
I agree with that 100%.
Why?
Because they have the mental imprint of a dominant female coach. If they said, why would this work? Everybody would have a fit and they'd go, hey, remember what Pat Summitt did?
There were many years in Tennessee basketball where when there was a vacancy in the men's basketball program, it was very realistic to suggest.
It was like Izzo for football.
Yes.
But, like, actually made way more sense.
At a point, it was pretty realistic to suggest it for football, too.
Yeah.
There was actually, this is no lie, there was a point in the interim between Kiffin and Dooley when Summitt was conducting football recruiting visits.
I mean, she's the all-time ambassador.
At the time, it was Pearl and Summitt. They would actually take football players who at the time had no coach to show them around and would pitch them on the University of Tennessee. That's how awesome Pat Summitt was.
Yeah.
And she was a monster recruiter.
Yeah.
So
sell the school, sell the area.
Yeah.
All right.
And also scary.
Yeah. No. they're being scared, and terror knows no gender.
So Tennessee, I think, is a clear second. By the way, also, hardy mountain folk, accustomed to strong women who save everyone.
So. True. Yeah. All right. I think that's a good answer.
So what's the power ranking then? Oh, Vandy God. Won, but...
I might move... They were very convincing with Tennessee.
That was
Yeah, I'm fine with Tennessee 1.
Yeah.
Tennessee
1.
All right.
All right. I can tell you who the last one
is. Who's number 14?
That would be Georgia.
Why?
Well, because Georgia is, like, the most... Gwinnett County is the part of Georgia that's, like, the most Georgia.
Right.
Part of Georgia, and they're extremely sexist. I based this on Chuck Oliver and David Pollack.
Okay.
Who are both Gwinnettians. So,
okay.
Yeah, they would never do it. It's just not something that's done. So they're not going to do it.
I'm removing a hair that just floated.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like mine.
I'm also going to put... I'll put Texas A&M at number 3.
Okay.
Because they already worship... a female entity in Reveille.
Yep.
So it's just, you know, one step over.
Yeah.
Dark horse, Arkansas. Arkansas would not be afraid to try something crazy.
Yeah, which that's really just kind of a blanket statement. Yeah. We'll just apply it here.
And that just,
I'm going to go next with LSU because it might be the mistress of the governor who expresses an interest in the job. So that's always a possibility.
Does Bobby Jindal have a mistress?
Or just in any...
It's a requirement.
It's a requirement. Governor.
The Napoleonic Code is a very complicated legal structure.
Could have possible 2016 ramifications.
Yeah. Bobby Jindal's mistress of science.
Secret and loving.
He's a terrible, terrible lover.
I love you, meteorology.
It's such a weird picture.
He really is.
How I visualize that concept.
It's just a textbook. He's a spoon in a textbook.
I was going to say the periodic.
You know, there have been some very strong female evangelical leaders in the past 10 years, and that's where we're going to bring Auburn into the power rankings because they do worship Auburn Jesus. Auburn Jesus doesn't see male, female, black, blessed. White, or rich or poor. You're just blessed or you're not.
Right.
So I'm going to put Auburn next.
Okay.
I'm going to put Florida next.
I was going to say Florida feels right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because behind the curve, a little slow, right? So we're going to put them here because it'll be a bad hire. If you want to know who's going to make the first bad female hire, it'll be Florida.
Florida.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be like, oh, we got Heather Graham. This is great.
Worried about her $12 million buyout.
Roller girl, y'all.
Gotta pay her roller girl money.
Let me throw Alabama in there, because at some point they're gonna come to a spot in their program where Nick Saban is no longer able to coach or doesn't want to. And given what we saw with how connected they appear to be to Nick Saban, there's a chance they'll just ask if Terry's willing.
Oh, wait. There's historical precedence for this, because remember, George Wallace gets shot.
Oh, I thought this was going to be a
and his
Reagan.
Wife takes over as governor.
Ooh.
So we might have to move Alabama up in these rankings, because this has happened before.
Yeah. Okay.
With short despots who can no longer do their job.
Okay. Stars fell.
Mostly as a result of God's judgment.
Also bullets.
Yeah. Because it's New Year's.
Or Arbor Day.
Who are we missing? We have Kentucky. We've got Ole Miss.
Let's see.
Ole Miss is pretty low, I gotta think.
Ole Miss is pretty low on that, because I don't think they know whether it's scientifically possible.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, is that even legal?
I have no idea where Mizzou is on this list, in all honesty.
I've seen Winner's Bone.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm basing all of Mizzou. I base all of my understanding of Missouri on two things. Winner's Bone and Roadhouse. And
a prequel to Winter's Bone.
I believe they've elected to national office female politicians as well.
Yeah, but those are facts.
We're
dealing with reality, which is Roadhouse. And there really aren't many strong women in that movie.
True.
I would be fine with Coach Claire McCaskill.
We have to move them up. We'll put them at like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah. Okay. Columbia's... Because
willingness to elect a female to national public office...
It's helpful.
In an argument like this is something that we could use to aid us.
And Jeff Sessions is definitely not female.
I got one question to ask about Kentucky. How's she going to help the Cats basketball team? Can she recruit for them?
All right.
We got to move Kentucky up this list.
So head football coach Ashley Judd, it is.
Done. Hey, put him at a solid 4 or 5 if that's the case.
Sorry, Winona.
Yeah. You know, I could see, honestly, like the first team, Pac-12 team, Pac-12, it was just Larry Scott being like, we need to hire a woman coach. Mm-hmm. He was decided to be like, we'll put a team on the moon. We'll give it a female coach.
You're like, listen, Utah, you're getting Serena Williams.
And they go undefeated. It's insane. Oh, man, Serena would go for two. She'd run up scores. It'd get ugly.
She would bark at refs.
Oh,
yeah. That'd be fantastic.
They're like, well, Serena got kicked out again.
Sideline infraction, thy name, Serena Williams.
We put a different spin on it since we probably won't be able to go all the way to 14.
Yeah.
Candidates to be the first female head coach.
I got I'm gonna grab Doris Burke.
Doris Burke, we mentioned her. Yeah, Claire McCaskill has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Which may serve well in the recruiting game.
She sounds like a coordinator to me though. You know, Claire, defensive coordinator.
More of a Claire number McCaskill. Two, not yeah, not yeah. a number one.
Yeah, okay. she's a number two.
Serena Williams. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
I got mine.
She can recruit LA.
Michelle Obama.
Ooh. Ooh.
Got physical presence.
Yeah, more, but she comes from the basketball background.
Athletic presence.
I hear you.
Leader.
I hear you.
Team's going to eat well.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's true. We I think you need somebody who's going to be able to recruit the South. Who's going
Brett Butler's a college coach. A major college coach.
Brett Butler.
Brett Butler. Yeah. You know, Delta Burke.
Delta Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Delta Burke would actually be a much better AD.
Yeah, you think, oh, she's got AD. Like,
she would be a very
evil,
strong
manipulative AD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing the dramatic chair turn.
Yeah, have a seat.
Spencer is swinging. It's a non-visual medium right now.
Yeah, I'm helping everyone here.
Suspended by water.
I'm sorry, Hugh Freeze. I had your passport revoked.
You can't leave Oxford. Is this a country? Is it?
You already mentioned Pat Summitt, which is probably... atop the list.
You need a Pat Summitt type. You need somebody who's got the combination of drill sergeant and mama.
Yeah.
The most intimidating guilt and fear-based power imaginable. So, but there's numerous. I would also do this. You could probably find a decent female football coach in any one of a number of terrifying school bus drivers.
Sure.
That's it. Just go find the. Go ask the kids. Go ask the third graders. Who's the scariest bus driver who's a woman? And they'll be like, oh, 3B, Diane. And you take Diane, you give her a decent defensive coordinator.
Sure.
Good offense, couple of crooked recruiters.
Diane and Glenn Spencer.
Dude, we're talking Gator Bowl. Year two.
Either bus driver or, like, overzealous 80s TV mom.
You'd be like, Diane won 9 games at Purdue.
Let me put it this way. The process and results of the job search that leads to Diane bus driver as head coach, not that different than that got Will Muschamp the job at Florida.
Will Muschamp can't
drive
Did
a bus.
Did you just say Will Muschamp? Is that like a nickname that exists already?
It is now.
Okay.
Hashtag Muschamp.
In my sadness.
Oh, Diane.
All right. Diane from Purdue.
Who's your lady,
Di? I was going to say Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Michelle Obama's the... I was trying to think of TV moms.
Hillary Clinton?
I need someone to bring some young blood to the organization.
1992 Felicia Rashad?
Ooh. Has the organizational skills.
Yep. Doesn't take crap, but can be turned on the
can
suite.
Can work with a variety of personalities.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't need to take all the credit.
True. Sports background.
Sports background.
Was married to Ahmad Rashad.
Ahmad.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll probably get MJ in for an emotional speech every now
connected.
And then.
She knows.
Hey, you know, this was mentioned. Donna Shalala, University of Miami. Mm.
Okay.
Get her to put on the headsets. She's an intimidating little turbo dwarf of a woman.
Spitfire.
Yeah.
Not a coach's. Or excuse me, not a player's coach. George's mom in Seinfeld.
I mean, I don't know if she has the energy full time. Estelle Harris.
Yeah,
I believe is her name.
I mean, Joe Paterno was going into his 80s there.
Sure, sure.
As a figurehead of a program, just to get things going.
As a George O'Leary type.
Yeah, well, if we're reaching back for the aged and or now deceased, B. Arthur is a first round.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, anyone who was, like many great coaches, cited in the armed forces in her time serving our country for contracting a venereal disease on duty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like Barry Switzer.
Now I'm trying to think who else was affiliated. You got Julia Child was a spy.
I'd like B. Arthur just smacking Brett Bielema and says, the card says fuck you.
Hey, Brett Bielema wouldn't say anything.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. That's the right answer.
B. Arthur, head coach.
The best part about this, by the way, is if there were a female coach, imagine with me the scenario where everyone gets intimidated. Like, you think we're intimidated of, like, Nick Saban? They'd be like, it's the Black Widow. Mm-hmm. You can't beat her on the home field. Get in dudes' heads.
Absolutely. Sonia Thomas, the eating Black Widow. I don't know why I'm reminded of her because he said Black Widow.
Yeah.
But no. I'm trying to think. You got to have that presence. That's the big thing that B. Arthur would have.
Hey, listen, you want a little wacky curveball?
Sure.
She's going to throw Christy Malzahn in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Not afraid to speak up.
Can recruit the South.
Speaking of topically reverent, irrelevant.
Yep.
And reverent, because, you know, Auburn Jesus.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think. Any other names, Ty?
I'm trying to think of former female Olympians.
Athletes? Yeah. I was in that.
You know, strong, like a Summer Sanders type.
Yeah, because Serena's strong. A strong choice. Summer Sanders, I mean, she's obviously still connected.
Maybe somebody from that women's World
Gina
Cup
Davis.
Team. Oh. Yes, yes.
Like a Mia Hamm.
Chastain.
The problem with Brandi Chastain, though, on a male team,
Fowdy.
You know, they might just be interested in seeing her with the shirt off again.
Yeah.
She'll shut that down.
Yeah.
She'll shut that down. She's lived that life for 20 years.
Who's the... What's the one that does all the headers? The short hair.
Abby...
No, it's Morgan.
Abby Wambach.
Oh, Abby Wambach.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
In fact, Florida will take her right now
Yeah. Go get her.
Receivers coach?
She's a gamer?
Yep. No. We'll take her at head coach.
Head coach?
Yeah.
Sure. Muschamp would move over, too, if she was late moving, because Abby Wambach is... Abby Wambach is fearless. Like, she was, she was around the same time I was.
Okay.
And, at Florida. And she was terrifying.
Like, ties to the South?
Yeah, ties to the South. Yeah.
Okay.
Fierce.
Yeah.
Beloved by the program.
Yeah. She's a Florida gal. Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
Olympians.
That's good.
Michelle Kwan.
Carrie Strug.
Toughness. Carrie Strug could legitimately
preach. You know what? How long would it take Bella Caroli to turn around a college football program?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because it's a results-oriented business.
We don't know that Bella Caroli and Howard Schnellenberger are the same person.
Have they ever been seen in the same room?
That's a really valid point.
So...
Oh, yeah.
Let's throw that out.
Strong ties in Texas. I don't know why Strong got the job.
Yeah.
Caroli sitting right there. What, Charlie Strong?
Caroli's
you got
show on the Longhorn Network.
Oh, my God.
It'd be a cooking show.
Like, he'd just have a hot plate.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Borscht.
We're not equipped for this, Bella. I have a hot plate.
Bring me Longhorns.
Bring me 8 cabbages and a ham hock.
Just makes David Ash do back handsprings till he cries.
Would Bella Caroli carry Joe Bergeron off the field if he sprained an ankle?
That's not necessary. It is.
Shh, Bella's here.
I love this idea. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah, taking like obnoxious coaches of other sports and transplanting them into college football. Like all those crazy tennis parents,
tennis
like Jim
dads.
Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
College football
Tommy
coach.
Tommy Lasorda on an SEC team would be a pretty interesting pick.
No. Tommy Lasorda totally needs to be somewhere collecting his last paycheck, like in the depths of the Mountain West.
That's the Mountain West?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He needs to be, like, so past caring.
New Mexico State.
Oh, yeah, New Mexico State. Tommy Lasorda for New Mexico State.
Tommy Lasorda versus Bob Davie every year?
I forget.
Am I you or are you me?
That's a meeting. That's a meeting of a mind.
Why not? Like, so, I don't even. Has Arkansas State hired somebody? They probably have.
He's probably left.
Yeah. Arkansas State or New Mexico State or one of those schools should just hire a retired angry coach to coach each week, like a guest coach.
A Jim Leland type?
Yeah, hire Jim Leland one week.
We've had this discussion before, so it's been trod over a little bit, but famous soccer coaches, if you could get a couple that, you know, you really wanted on there, I'm really convinced that you could get, like, if you gave Gus Hiddink
I don't know soccer.
Gus Hiddink is a Dutch genius, total football guy who's gotten, he's famous for getting really crappy or underperforming teams to levels that they've previously never even dreamed of. Like, he got South Korea when they hosted. He got South Korea, I think, into the quarterfinals when they were just, like, nowhere before. So, like, he's perfect. He's like the Houston Nut. He coaches, like, you know, a different team every 3 years.
Right.
Gets them up to a huge level. Mm-hmm. They might fail spectacularly.
And they just flame out.
But they will upset somebody.
Right.
Right? So, like, he's basically Houston Nut. I think you could just interchange them and nobody would notice. Jose Mourinho?
Yeah.
Another guy who would be perfect. He's like the Spurrier of soccer.
Okay.
So, another dude that you could just switch in and out with ease. And then Fabio Capello, because he barely speaks English. I just want to see, like, a jaunty Italian put in charge of, you know, a Big Ten team, because they play the same tactics.
New Notre Dame coach, Diego Maradona.
Listen, that's worth it just for the press conference where Diego Maradona looks at the collected, horrified Notre Dame press and says, and I quote, "Suck it and keep on sucking."
I think that's okay. It's still an improvement from Ty Willingham.
The upshoot to Diego Maradona, no more kicking problems at Notre Dame.
Well,
you would assume.
Yeah, it would be better.
Provided Maradona hasn't exhausted his eligibility,
I mean, you'd think he could at least teach someone to kick. Because they haven't done that in, like, 20 years.
Remember, by the way, this is where we also, like, Diego Maradona, oh, the extracurriculars are spectacular. He ran over a photographer on the way out, like, with his car.
Yeah.
And yelled at the photographer because he was to blame for it. That, to me, sounds like Notre Dame.
That feels very
coach.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
Might be Catholic. We don't know.
Potentially Catholic.
He may not know.
Yeah, it's true.
The 90s were a really long time for him.
That's the name of his memoirs. Potentially Catholic.
Yeah.
Diego Maradona story.
The Hand of God? He was part of it.
Yeah. He'll sit up there and talk about how awesome Castro is. That'll be
now
great.
I don't even feel like talking about Auburn, Florida State, because we just spent a half hour talking about B. Arthur, Diego Maradona, and Michelle Obama.
That's a coaching matchup.
B. Arthur, Coach Arthur, and Coach Maradona.
What do you think the curfew would be if B. Arthur were the coach?
She wouldn't even have to impose
one. No, she wouldn't. No.
People just know.
Yeah, just an evil stare.
Yeah, the sun's down. B's going
to
know.
Yeah, you're all men. You know how to handle your business. I trust you.
Oh, God.
And if I can't trust you, depth chart's right there.
Yeah.
Next man up. Next B up.
Also, I have a knife.
Also, I was a Marine and I have a knife.
Also, my hands are bigger than yours.
Yeah. You see, and also, B. Arthur, football compatible, because those shoulder pads.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. In every Golden Girls episode, they're football wide. All of them.
Is it bad that we didn't mention Goldie Hawn?
No. Wildcats was a fraud, man.
Okay.
Kathy Ireland.
Never bought it.
Okay.
Now, Meryl Streep is a football coach.
Yeah.
I buy it.
Okay.
I'm not saying she's not making it, like, out of a UConn. She could coach UConn.
I worry.
She could coach UConn.
No, that's not saying a lot. Paul Pasqualoni coached UConn.
How would we even know how long would it take us to realize that Meryl Streep was coaching UConn?
That's the other thing. You'd be like, an amazing performance.
It'd be when UConn beat Michigan.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be like, imposter.
Oh, man. Meryl Streep beat Michigan.
Meryl Streep here on the sheet.
Meryl Streep as Paul Pasqualoni.
And she wasn't even that good in this.
But she's phoning it in, frankly.
It's like death becomes her Meryl Streep.
It's Osage County bullshit.
Death Becomes Her is a fine movie. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I would. There's numerous women who would work. There's numerous transplants who would work. Mm-hmm. In fact, the fun part is that when you start looking at people who are currently head coaches in college, you're like, there's a number of people who obviously have a trained and extensive skill set. And then there's probably three or four guys who you're like, replacement value?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
You hear some of these guys talk, and you're like, well, I mean, you can do anything right there. You can get anybody to do that.
Mike DuBose won 11 games in the SEC, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, Brady Hoke won 11 games. Was it 10 or 11? I think it was 10.
It was 10 games.
10 games?
I think he went 10-3 that year.
Yeah.
Thanks, Virginia Tech.
Will Muschamp won 11 games.
Yeah?
No, he didn't. It didn't happen.
I know how to win.
I hope they gaslight Will Muschamp next year. I hope they just somehow rig his computer so that all records of 2012 don't exist. He's like, no, I went to see Cirque du Soleil. I know it. And Cirque du Soleil didn't exist until 2013, Bill.
And they just call it Bill and never correct it. Why are you calling me Bill? I'm not calling you Bill, Bill.
Bill, are you feeling okay?
He just goes mad on September 5th and never shows up again.
Bill, let's get you another MRI.
It's not an MRI. It's just actually a washing machine. Put that in the dryer for an hour. He won't notice.
Guys!
Did you see anything up there? Still didn't find anything. We really... Florida State... Do we have to talk about that? I mean, we're going to watch it, right?
Yeah, we're going to watch
it. It's going to happen.
You're going to be there.
We all agree it's going to happen.
You're going to be there.
We'll be there in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'll bring this up because we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Ryan over here. What's, like, in terms of social media, in terms of just sort of watching as a sarcastic fan, what's the best possible outcome?
The funniest.
The funniest possible outcome.
Auburn wins by 30. That's the funniest possible. Or that? No, actually, the straight answer on this, the straight funny answer, is that you get another Auburn ending. Is that you get another ending that just isn't supposed to happen. And I like that one because it psychologically shatters Florida State for life. Yeah. That they believe that they were... Because you would actually have to, like, it would be hard. Like, we would all watch it and we would say, this is a random occurrence of events that that just happened to bounce Auburn's way again.
Auburn wins on a fumble risky, a Bobby Bowden fumble risky.
Right. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the field would never believe that it wasn't anything but the actions of a god acting against them directly. Right?
Or like another like wide left, wide right type situation.
Yeah, it would just have to, it would have to be something
like bouncy, like Georgia, Alabama.
Or like if they're the team that actually pulls off a lateral. Like if they actually pull off a successful multilateral kick return to win the game.
A big game, Cal Stanford.
Tennessee Titans style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw across the field.
Yeah. Oh. That would be the funniest because that would, one, validate, I think, the worst fears about this Auburn team.
Yeah.
That, like, some ancient Hittite god has come to life and decided to make this season his playground, right?
Yeah.
Like, Patton Oswalt has a bit about that, about, you know, that, like, occasionally there's this mischievous god that somebody prays to once and it gives them enough power to do something really mischievous, right? That's this one god has been like, this is my team, they're my plaything, and I will go back to not existing right after this moment.
Right after this happens.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
That's the funniest thing to
that
do that
would
can happen.
Be funny. Oh, God, that would be amazing, actually.
Team of Destiny.
A curse. Like, if you just thought...
The curse of destiny.
All right, I want to add one thing to that. That happens, and then Auburn wins 7 games next year.
Oh, yeah. No,
combine those two, and now I'm on board with that as the best, the most hilarious outcome.
Where do you think Gene Chizik's watching this game tomorrow?
Where?
Yeah.
Probably a Sam's Club. I'm just looking at these. I'm picking one out. No, I'm not loitering. You can't kick me out. No, I don't have a membership.
I'm considering.
I'm thinking about it.
I'm a potential customer. Treat me better.
I'll join if I like these TVs.
But then around halftime, he just wanders over and starts eating deli meat.
He finds the one remaining Circuit City.
He accidentally locks himself in. No!
I'm trapped here forever, but not with Jennifer Connelly like that movie where the dude was trapped in Target.
Oh, career opportunities.
Career, thank you. I think Chizik probably watches this from. He probably watches. He lives in Auburn, right? So he lives in Auburn. So there's only 3 places to watch it in Auburn. You can watch it at the Sam's Club. You can watch it at the Auburn Supper Club, where they have a grade at the end, and the whole thing slopes a little bit, so they just take all the crap at the end of the night and wash it into the drain. That's true. Or you can watch it at the Jimmy John's. So I'm going to choose Jimmy John's.
The Sam's Club in Auburn is also a magnet school.
Yeah. A magnet school for those with shoes. Do you have shoes?
We'll bus you in.
We'll bus you in, buddy. That's a lie. They have a Starbucks now, too. Like 2 of them.
It's crazy.
It's Auburn.
It's Auburn. What is the thing in this game, by the way, that you think is would not be a surprise that might be a surprise to others? That you wouldn't be surprised if it happened?
If
the layperson might see it and go, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. And you're like, ah, actually, there's a lot of basis for that.
I think just because these teams are both capable of scoring so many points. Like, I think one team could kill another team in this game. Like, Florida State, when like if their receivers are like completely unguardable to most teams, like, they could get on a roll and win this game 45-17. Like, I think a lot of people are like, Gus Malzahn's offense, Jameis Winston, it's going to be a shootout or it's going to be close. We've seen games with, like, two really good teams and just blowouts in this game.
Yeah, and to the contrary, they could both just suck and not score any points because we've seen that happen in BCS games
before. This could look a lot like Oregon Hall.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a 19-17 weird game. Two teams come out of sync.
And, well, even if... I think it could be, like, defensive, too, in the way sure. Oregon... Like, those two defenses were really good that day. Cam Newton did nothing against Oregon. And Oregon did nothing against Nick Fairley. And that, like, there's two really good defensive lines. Like, it could be a 17-14, potentially. Because you have, like, Dee Ford and Carl Lawson and Montrevious Adams and all, like, Edwards and Goldstein... All Goldman and all these... By the way, Eddie Goldman... does not look like an Eddie Goldman.
No.
I'm sorry. No. I've known a lot of Eddie Goldmans in my time.
He can be with the tribe.
Yeah, that's true. Just in terms of size. I don't see colors, Spencer.
Sephardim.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think everybody's just assuming that it's just going to be wonder on offense everywhere. I also think Nick Marshall could have actually, like, a really good game passing the ball. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But he's made, like, throws where it's like he hit that guy's back shoulder and there was, like, a 3-inch window. Like, he hit Sammy Coates, like, in an incredible angle. And
it makes you forget about a lot of the bad throws.
Right. It makes you forget about, but he's, like, capable, especially with, like, Gus Malzahn. I mean, like, here's your one read. And then, like, if that doesn't work, run it and then somebody might be open. Like, he could actually, like, throw for a ton of, like, I don't think against Florida State's corners. But I think he has the ability to, if, like, things get weird.
I think the team, I think you could see a lot of turnovers. And that's not only just because of the layoff, because Auburn, defensively, you know, I think they can get pressure with their D-line, and if that's the case, Winston's prone to throw. I mean, he will throw a pick.
Mm-hmm. He'll sail him.
Yeah, and if he sails against that, the only chance that secondary has is that they just fall into an interception that the D-line generates, that they get pressure up front. So that's entirely possible, and I think the team is probably because of the number of times they put the ball in the air versus Auburn, who at times has thrown the ball 7 or 9 times in a game this year, that if Florida State, if the one team's going to cough up like 5 turnovers in this game, it's going to be Florida State. They're good enough to overcome that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's still like, dudes were like 19, Jameis Winston?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, Rose Bowl's a huge place. And I have every doubt that, like, this, like, Jameis Winston, everybody's talking about, like, this is the big stage, and he embraces that, and he's at his best under the lights and everything. Like, he played Duke in the ACC championship game. He's now playing Auburn and Gus Malzahn in the Rose Bowl. Like, everybody talks about, yeah, I mean, like, the, you know, he thrives under these conditions, but, like, no 19-year-old has played in the Rose Bowl in front of 100,000 people until they've played the Rose Bowl for 100,000. Like, it's insane.
I think it's also going to be interesting to see Jimbo coaching. Like, it's hard to think of, even though Jimbo's had a pretty decent career at Florida State even before this season, it's hard to think of, like, really big-time games that he's been the head ball coach for. I mean, it's either a pretty good opponent.
This brings up a goblin in Jimbo Fisher's history, which is game management.
Right. Yeah. That's sort of where I was going with this. Like, you know, they've played Notre Dame, but it's in the Champ Sports Bowl, or they'll get to the Orange Bowl and play NIU. This is kind of a big first test for him as well.
His biggest stage game is what? That Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame as the offensive coordinator for LSU, where he just, like, had Jamarcus Russell just throw it up?
Yeah.
Right, and
I mean, I don't know. I mean, a head coach, like, in terms of, like, bowl games.
And it's hard to even I mean, I remember that game well. It's hard to credit Jimbo Fisher for
right.
anything.
Right.
That, you know, Notre Dame practically gift-wrapped that
I
game.
I mean, if Gus Malzahn comes out and throws a bunch of stuff at Florida State that they are like, wow, this is not what we thought they were going to run in their first 30 plays.
First-year coordinator on defense for Florida State.
Yeah, you wonder if Jimbo might get a little tight.
And how far away are we from, like, what is this game that Jimbo Fisher is calling for EJ Manuel?
Right.
What is he doing? We're not, like, super far away from that.
Yeah, and, that was going to be my point, because I remember some of the emails we got last year, and even when Jimbo Fisher first took over at Florida State, we got messages from a lot of Florida State people who were like, we hope he does well. It could really come off the rails. And even last year, they were sort of disappointing in a couple of their contests. People were like, don't know how much longer a leash we can give him. Now, all of a sudden, he's like a candidate for Texas. They're in the national championship.
Which is mostly a miracle of management. Like, he's become a good manager. The
hired
program.
Really good coaches.
And hired really good coaches. And by the way, like miraculously, remember, they lost their whole staff last year.
Yeah.
And somehow just kept on trucking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks in large part to all the good little easy management stuff you do by recruiting better players, more fast bigs. Mm-hmm. As Jimbo likes to say. But at the same time, slim down the playbook, make things real easy for James Winston. And by the way, they get easy when you can throw to Kelvin Benjamin.
And Kenny Shaw, three really good receivers.
When you can throw
yeah.
to three giant people who can run really quickly, who have great hands.
And if by some miracle they're not open, you've got a giant tight end who doesn't drop anything in Nick O'Leary.
Right. Do you know he's Jack Nicklaus's grandson?
What?
Yeah.
The golfer?
No, that's...
The actor.
Jack Nicholson, yes.
Okay. Jack Nicholson. Oh.
Correct.
Christian Slater's father.
The Joker.
Yes. Yeah.
The Joker's son.
The Joker's son.
He'll be there, right?
Joker Phillips.
Joker Phillips' son, Nick O'Leary.
It must be hard for him not to go to Florida.
I was thinking it was Shaquille O'Neal, Nick O'Leary.
You're thinking of Shazam.
Shazam.
Yeah.
Worst movie of all time.
The app and the movie.
Worst movie of all time?
Of all time. Shazam?
Shazam?
That's a really bold claim.
It brings together two of my favorite things.
What expectations did you have going into Shazam?
I had more expectations as like a teenage boy that I would enjoy the movie, given the fact that there was magic involved.
Right.
And Genies Shaquille O'Neal involved,
and
who?
A top five that's world redundant. Player of all
well,
time.
Well, right.
Well, after Steel, I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Shazam was before Steel.
Steel comes first in my heart.
Demi Moore's Scarlet Letter is still the worst movie ever made. It's worse than Shazam because...
It's Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Scarlet Letter. Yeah.
I'm sort of torn between Shazam and Eye of the Beholder.
I don't know if I saw it.
I don't think
Beholder.
I've seen that.
With Ewan McGregor and, I believe, Ashley Judd.
Oh, wow. That was in Ashley Judd's period where she did the same movie 8 times.
Yeah.
Like,
really bad movie.
Was she like, was in peril, but
yeah,
tried
Ashley
to become
Judd,
empowered.
Ashley Judd is a near murder victim who solves her own murder in spider webs.
I have a great Ashley Judd story.
Double She's spider web
double
jeopardy.
Webs.
She lives in my hometown in Franklin, Tennessee, or lives at least close to there, or visits, and is frequently seen at retail establishments eating her lunch out of a bowl that she brings with her. So, like, and I'm not talking, like, you know, like a takeout bowl.
Right.
I'm talking, like, a bowl that she...
Like a ceramic bowl.
Like a ceramic
bowl. That she just brings to...
Yeah, that she
she's
just...
She's being green.
Yeah, you know, just doing a little shopping and eating out of a bowl you'd keep from home.
Can you give
so
me...
So, like, she'll go to, like...
She'll be like, hey, can
J.
I...
J. Crew.
Can I get this Baconator in a bowl?
Yep.
Oh, so she's not bringing her food from home. She's having a retail establishment put their food in her
No,
bowl.
No, it's food from home.
Oh.
So she comes with,
yeah,
like,
take
leftover
in.
Pasta.
She brings a take-in order from home.
Leftover pasta to J. Crew. It's like, oh, there's a sweater sale. I'm going to eat this brown rice.
So there's this really pale, gaunt woman.
Oh,
with
God.
She's like the world's weirdest ghost. Just stumbles in
she's
with
like,
it.
All right, I don't think she's cutting it as a college football coach.
At the Container Store eating an enchilada.
Well, is it weird? Weird in college football coaches.
That's true.
Hand in hand.
That is true.
Weird eating habits, especially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have two oatmeal cream pies for breakfast. What kind of a diabetic nightmare is that, Nick Saban? It either kills you or makes you an unstoppable killing machine.
Like,
I think we know what's going to happen.
I only eat food to disguise that I'm a robot.
Yeah, exactly. I eat human food, like oatmeal cream pie.
But this kind of, like, the Little Debbie snack cake, as, like, a gentleman in his 60s, yeah, he's like, I eat this packaged, processed, sugary nonsense. I mean,
you know how much petroleum byproduct he's got in his system at this point?
It is the mark of somebody who has never been fully socialized.
Yeah.
Who only understands a very limited sphere of the world.
It makes you wonder what, like, Bill Belichick eats for breakfast. Probably cats.
Cats and orange slices.
No, like the candy orange slices, right? Circus peanuts. He's probably like, I ate a whole feed bag, like a horse full
every
of peanuts.
Every Halloween candy you hate, Bill Belichick eats exclusively.
I eat 9 Almond Joys every morning.
Or he just misidentifies things because he doesn't know anything about life outside. He's like, I eat an omelet for breakfast every morning. What's in the omelet? 9 kinds of candy. Are there any eggs? No.
Have you ever had unlabeled caramel? Yeah, that's the only caramel.
You can form it into a patty that you make in your office because that's where you live.
Jeez. But yeah, it's as if you were a youth soccer player your whole life.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I eat Star Crunch. You don't?
I mean, I would feel weird if I ate, like, a Pop-Tart every morning, and I am half of Nick Saban's age. Like, that would be a weird thing if somebody my age, and of which you guys are all, that would be a weird thing. You're like, yeah, I have strawberry Pop-Tarts every morning.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And then I turn on the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
That's how he gets up. He lets out the dogs, turns on the Weather Channel, and eats 2 foods you have not consumed without cringing since the age of 10.
That's what you eat, like those Little Debbie oatmeal things where you're like, you get into a motel at 3 a.m. because of like a delayed flight. You're like, I need to eat something.
And they leave the oatmeal cream pie on the pillow.
On the pillow. Or it's at the front desk.
That's right.
Turn down service.
How many does he eat every day?
Two for breakfast.
Because I remember those things quite well from age 10.
Too.
And there was definitely an upper limit.
And like every other coach, he dips too. Oh. So here's what: 2 oatmeal cream pies, and then he eats the same salad for lunch every single day, and then it's just dip and hatred the rest of the way in film.
Cast iron summer.
It's got to be some sort of West Virginia pioneer stuff that I don't understand.
Oatmeal cream pie is a classic example of the dessert a southerner in particular, or a midwesterner, eats to tell themselves it's healthy.
Yeah, oatmeal.
Because it's got oatmeal in it.
Yeah.
It's got roughage. You'll get all this. It's like poison loaded with, like, the express engine behind it, right? Like, it'll push it right to my system.
No. This cake has raisins in the frosting.
For the fruits.
Yeah. No, I had carrot cake.
I'm a bit of a health nut.
I had carrot cake. I don't have to go to the gym this month.
Also, consider this, that Nick Saban doesn't have to be bothered this year with the peskiness of a title game. He gets to just recruit.
Yep. And you know during, because he's on, game day. He's on ESPN, like the pregame show. Every other sentence is going to be some sort of secret backdoor recruiting sentence.
All of them.
Yeah.
Coded.
Like Manchurian Candidate style?
Yes. He's going to tell a recruit, he's like, I'm going to say the word.
He said polyester a lot.
Yeah.
3 offensive linemen activate somewhere in Dothan.
What was the code word in Naked Gun?
Oh.
Must kill Pap Schmier. Like, that'll be a recruit. Must commit.
Yeah.
After hearing Nick Saban's coded message.
Polyester.
There's also going to be a lot of those situations where he stares eerily at the camera.
He's not.
You know what? He's good on TV.
He's very good, but he does a lot of that eye contact with the camera.
Does he? Okay. I mean, I saw him. It was before what, the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Every game.
He is very good.
He's
most
good
everyone
on TV.
They've had on there has been pretty good. Frankly, Lane was fine. Very instructive. Yeah. Good at pointing out technique and things like that.
Sure. And now they're working together. Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban.
At last.
long last.
Well, they were.
They no longer are. They've gone their separate ways. You know what? If I saw a picture of the Sabins and the Kiffins on a couple's vacation in Cancun.
Oh, man. They're like, yeah, we went to Sandals.
I'd assume they were. You don't pay for anything.
Yeah, Nick Saban wore a shirt the whole time at Sandals. Button down.
He didn't wear anything else.
Just the shirt.
Just the shirt. He went bottomless.
Yeah.
I'd try to get that
out
of your
free
brain.
A very free man.
Yeah. Lane's out there in boy shorts.
They didn't fit.
Yeah, no. Oh, no.
No. He's got giant board shorts.
Giant, huge.
Guys, this one has a bottle opener in them.
The weird...
Guys, check out my billabongs.
Rockstar.
I got these cool surf boots.
Those are just boots.
The weirder of the two coaches in this matchup, by the way, is like, by far, is Malzahn.
Why? Because he's just so... Not, I hate the phrase backward, but he's just like, he's country.
Well, yeah, but like, he's also so like, he's got weird mottos, like,
fist!
Like, what does fist stand for? It stands for, like, fury, intensity, strength, and toughness, fist! You know? And
kidney stone!
He drinks an inhuman amount of coffee, and I say that as somebody who drinks a lot of coffee.
Okay.
He drinks, a terrifying amount of coffee. And, like, Jimbo Fisher... probably just naturally caffeinated. If you listen to him, it's like 5,000 words a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to transcribe a Jimbo Fisher press conference, don't. Just wait. They'll give them to you after the game. They do it for you. There's no need for you to put yourself through that. But Malzahn actually says very little and yet runs one of the weirdest, most exotic, and yet really simple. Like, it's very backwoods. Like, it's very much like, country ingenuity built this wing tee. Like,
yeah. It's the whole thing is like, I found the book on Delaware's wing tee.
That's it. Like, he found the book on Delaware's wing tee. Like, basically, this is it. Gus Malzahn found, like, a perfectly functioning muscle car in the woods.
Yeah.
And then he crafted, like, a redneck Ferrari out of it that was built out of parts he found in the river. And it's unstoppable.
This runs on library books.
Yeah. Only the banned ones, though. In you go, are you there, God, a team?
Come on, catcher in the rye. We gotta move.
Got a race to win. Let's throw leaves of grass.
Yeah,
man.
I got four Lolitas.
Yeah. Oh, you wanna see some real action? Tropic of Cancer.
That's a suntan lotion and a book.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm excited for. Actually, you know what? How do you rank this year's? Because like, we've had the last few years. What have we had? We had a rematch in LSU Alabama. Last year we had going into Notre Dame, we thought it was going to be closer than it was, but Notre Dame was a team that almost lost to Pitt. Like, it wasn't a Notre Dame team, I think.
Don't start.
Look, I'm gonna try to be as third party. Like, this Notre Dame team, I don't
they
think
didn't
was regarded
belong.
In they, the same way as other teams in recent
years. Yeah, they didn't belong on the field.
I'm going to dunk my head and hold my breath to 1,000.
That's fine.
I mean, no, you watched all those games last year, and you were like... pretty miserable for like 78% of them.
At least.
Yeah. So it wasn't like when you were watching like 2003 USC, you're like, man, they're beating everybody by 45. I can't wait till they play another awesome team in the national championship.
They backed into it.
Right.
They earned it.
They were the deserving team.
Right.
But I don't think there was the same excitement around, like, what can Notre Dame do against a great team.
It's sort of like when you have a school election and you're like, oh, Jimmy won? Well, I guess that's how democracy works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, yeah.
So
Jimmy's
so,
30.
So how would you compare just the general curiosity and excitement of these two teams playing each other versus, so you had Oregon Auburn, which I think people were pretty excited for. You had Alabama LSU, you had Alabama Texas, what else? What is else is in the recent history that
Florida,
I'm
missing? Oklahoma.
Florida, yeah. Oklahoma, LSU, Ohio State, Florida, Ohio State.
Auburn, Oregon.
So, like, where does this, like, because the more I think about it and the more I talk about it and the more I read about it, the more, like, there are, like, multiple very excellent things at play here in this game. Like, as lucky as Auburn was with, like, the Georgia ending, like, Auburn's offense is really fun as hell to watch, and it's excellent. And obviously, everything pretty much at Florida State does is excellent.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
Because the thing that like the lie
quality of play.
The lie I told myself last year was that Notre Dame was, you know, just winning low scoring games because that's just kind of how they were built.
Right.
Right. And that was the lie you kind of told yourself to sort of make it seem like it could be more compelling than it was going to be.
Right.
And it turns out, you know, you were really, really wrong the year before that. It was, you know, talking it going, well, maybe, you know.
LSU has evolved, Alabama have evolved.
We forgot that.
And
we forgot that if you give Nick Saban a month, he's going to work his ass off. And if you give Les Miles a month, he's going to get a go-kart.
He's not even going to put a...
That's not a metaphor.
He's not even going to put a safety flag on that thing.
Buy a go-kart.
He's going to buy a go-kart, and maybe he's going to buy you a go-kart, and he's going to look up and go, it's time to go to New Orleans.
Let's run it.
Let's run a speed option.
I learned how to drive backwards. Yeah.
Don't need to know where I'm going, as long as I know where I've been. He watched Cars. But yeah, and you know, before that, you know, the lie you told yourself was, well, you know, Auburn's defense isn't that good, and then, you know, Oregon, you know, really, they'll be able to punch some holes in it. Mm-hmm. So every year you kind of tell yourself something to make it a little more compelling. The thing I'm telling myself this year is that, you know, Florida State hasn't seen a rushing attack like this.
Right.
First place I go is to defend and sort of think, oh, well, here's ways I can make Auburn more playable, when in fact the favorites won the last, I believe, six.
And covered.
The spread here's 9.
It's up to 10.5.
So that's
10.5.
Yeah, 10.5. Well, that's what worries me. That, you know, I have to make that up. It would be a huge upset at this point for Auburn to win by the numbers.
Mm-hmm. And it would be. The Auburn definitely is the talk yourself into team.
Yeah.
I think there's also going to be an element of, if Florida State does just get on a roll and win this game comfortably, mm-hmm, outside of FSU Twitter, there's going to be a feeling of, like, this is a great team, and we really won't have a good sense of how great they were, because they're being compared to, you know, like, early 2000s Miami, USC at its peak. Mm-hmm. But those were teams that played throughout the year tough schedules. They played, like, tough non-conference opponents.
Yes.
And
by, and large,
by no fault of Florida State's, they just, they don't have the resume.
Right.
So even if they do come out and look really strong, I think you're still going to be left with that sense of, yeah, but who knows how they would have actually fared if they had had to play 4 really good teams instead of 2.
Yeah, and it's hard enough to try and compare eras.
Across, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's what can we really use? Well, we can use the simple rating system. I saw some folks trying to do that.
Right.
Is that an accurate comparison? No, it's a data point. And the argument, of course, is silly because you can't compare. But what I find amusing is that you will find people trying to draw those comparisons if Florida State wins. And inevitably, FSU Twitter will find some way to be defensive about it.
They'll point to how many people this team is going to send to the league. Last year's team sent a bunch of guys to the league really high. Mm-hmm. And last year's team wasn't great. It was good.
Because that's Jimbo Fisher's reputation at Florida State thus far. I'll get you to the league.
Right.
Yeah, develop, make
but
it up,
without any
huge
results at the college level. Right. Like, that's it. I'll get you paid.
Right.
Jimbo's quarterbacks get paid, even if they turn out to be Christian Ponder.
Jamarcus Russell.
And Jamarcus Russell.
EJ Manuel.
We'll get you
EJ
a check.
Manuel. Right.
That's it. And then, I mean, they're really, and that, by the way, it's a great recruiting pitch, because that's more than most people get.
Uh-huh. I didn't get that.
Yeah. Well, I did. But, you know, Jimbo and I are close.
That's true.
It was a huge bust.
Yeah. You were bad for the Lions.
Yeah, Jamarcus is a terrible name to carry into life. I'm glad I switched. Had some cosmetic work done.
You've slimmed down.
Thank you. Been working out in Shreveport. It's America's health capital.
Patent pepper.
Yeah, but that's the lie I kind of have to, like, tell myself, is that, oh, man, you know, Auburn's got all these advantages. When, in fact, if they win, which I am on the record as saying they will, it's still calling for a massive upset.
Hey, but nobody else picked Nebraska.
Nobody else picked Nebraska in that third Gator Bowl.
Damn
huh?
right. Bo Pelini.
Bo Pelini.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable master of the mm-hmm. 4-loss season. They were already at 4 losses. Therefore, they had to win the game.
That's true. Okay.
But even if this Florida State team wins, and we even have a weak resume on them, that's an undefeated season.
Yeah,
with a championship
game.
And against a very good opponent in that championship game. So, in a way, I think the narrative could be bent to be, well, this is when they peaked.
It'll be a kind of fitting end to the BCS era, because you'll kind of walk away feeling like, yeah, the right team probably won.
Yeah.
And I still feel a little like there could have been a little bit more to it.
Yeah. You know what I also like about this? The bowl season has played out, and this sort of goes in the direction of the selection committee show that Spencer and I do, is there's only one clear-cut other team that if Florida State blows out Auburn, like, there's no, like, oh, well, they didn't, they, we should have seen them play A, B, C, D, or E. That would have been interesting. There's only one team now that we're like, man, it'd be really fun to see Florida State play this team. Because, like, Alabama now, like, don't care.
Baylor,
Stanford, don't care. Baylor, don't care. To see Florida State play against Michigan State, hell yes. But other than that, like, it's sort of like one of those interests, because we've had those seasons where, like, there's all those 11-1, 12-1 teams where you're like, man, I wish they would have. Ohio State, no. Clemson, obviously, no.
It's sort of a clean break.
Yeah, it is.
To some degree, to feel like we'll come away from the last season of the BCS with
it. Even Michigan State lost to Notre Dame, so I don't really care.
Right, yeah. With an undisputed. My point, though, is that it's good that there'll probably be a clean break.
Yeah.
And we'll come away with this feeling like the true champion was crowned. At the same time, though, I don't know if that's fitting because the BCS era has been so laden with controversy.
Right.
That it's like, you know, you don't miss the pain until it's gone.
But by and large, it never feels that way at the end. It's always controversial as it's happening. And then at the end of the season, I think, I could be wrong, but most years it feels like everybody's okay with the result.
Yeah, it was Auburn in 03, it was Oregon in 01.
Right.
There's probably more recent stuff that I'm leaving out now, but what else is recent?
In the last 5 years?
Who's had big, like, qualms?
With a shot to make it? Well, 06, you get a... Those who fall for a Michigan, Ohio State.
Right. And then Florida
and
sort of
jumps
in.
Florida annihilates that by annihilating Ohio State. And then you get 07, which, if you want to look at the strangest year in the BCS era.
Yeah.
Right.
The strangest year is by far 2007.
Thanks, Boston College.
Thanks, Boston
USF.
Thanks, USF.
That was a wild
Thanks
year.
Thanks, Stanford.
Thanks, Pitt.
Who, remember, the biggest blip in that entire thing.
40-point dogs.
Is the 41.5-point dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat USC.
Yep.
With no one. Like, name one player
Tavita Pritchard,
quarterback.
Was that a Gerhard
year?
I don't even think
Tavita Pritchard was the guy through the game-winning pass.
It may have been.
I think
an early Gerhard
year. Gerhard year.
Yeah, but even still.
Even still. Thank you, Pitt.
Thank you, Pitt.
Dave Wonstead.
Not Pitt. Thank you, Dave Wonstead.
Thank you, Dave Wonstead.
Oh, yeah. West Virginia going
Don't
down.
Say Dave Wonstead never did anything for you. You get a two-loss LSU team in the title game, and they beat the crap out of Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not smoke them.
Matt Flynn.
They just beat them up.
National championship leader,
Matt Flynn. Joining, by the way, what, Matt Mock?
Yeah.
Or from LSU as their other BCS title.
Matt Mock? Matt Mock is the Missouri quarterback now.
Yeah, Matty Mock.
Matty Mock.
M-A-T-Y. Not cool. Matt Mock, the dentist, who's now a dentist, by the way. That was a dentist who was running the QB draw to victory.
There's a lot of, like, medical professionals who have led their BCS to, like, isn't Krenzel?
You want to look at, like, the... Yeah, you want to look at, like,
was
the...
Was it Krenzel? Who was the other Ohio State guy?
If you're, like, there's the some correlation now. Between number of times you run the QB draw...
Yeah.
As a quarterback and your overall IQ and future destination.
Going pro in something other than
going
sports.
Going pro in something other than sports, so like QB draw, just put you out there to get an annihilated. And don't go ahead first because you need that for grad school.
Yeah.
Professional handball player, Jake Plummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's stuck.
But look at the BCS, like the championship quarterbacks from BCS, and you'll see what a weird talent level plateau peak you get in terms
Eric
of athletes. Eric Crouch did play in a BCS game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost badly.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Ken Dorsey.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at Craig Krenzel.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Josh Heupel.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Mock for LSU.
T. Martin.
You know, you got two quarterbacks 2005 that are no longer playing that everybody assumed would be like 15-year NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Young and Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Both look like demigods at the time.
And then Colt McCoy. Granted, didn't play much in
TV
a BCS championship.
Chris Leak.
Mm-hmm.
BCS champion quarterback.
He was an Alouette.
Chris Leak. He was an Alouette.
Yeah.
Greg McElroy saw more NFL time than a lot of those guys.
Can I remind you of who saw significant time in a BCS loss and looked really good at the time? That would be Garrett Gilbert. Garrett Gilbert lit it up in that game in the second half.
Yeah, he had like four picks, but like still like moved the ball and kept them within like striking distance.
Yeah.
New SEC network host?
Timmy Tebow.
Tim Tebow, yeah.
That'd be him. And then, you know, then you have a couple of guys who are legitimately Cam Newton. Brilliant at both levels.
Yeah.
But that's the rarity.
Yeah. And yeah. Sam Bradford's, like, almost at the top. And, I mean, I guess he didn't win, but he's, like, a fine NFL quarterback. And that puts him, like, ahead of almost everybody.
He's like, the bronze medalist.
Yeah.
Of all of the games, by the way, this is the other one, too, that we're most due for a bust. Because if you look at the BCS games thus far, underdogs have won all three. No? All four?
Stanford lost, Baylor lost, Alabama
lost,
and Ohio State lost.
Right.
Yes, sir.
All four dogs have lost.
So
all four dogs won, yeah.
Yeah, all four dogs won. So all four favorites lost. So if you're looking for a trend and you want to make up more lies to believe that Auburn has a really good chance in this game.
Season of Destiny.